Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second-generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by someone I've personally known for more than 30 years, a lifelong friend dating back to our time together at Dickinson College. He's Sean Barbaras, founder and president of More Than Money 360. Sean has a legal background and a specialization in family wealth strategy, and through MTM 360, he has built a unique platform designed to help families strengthen unity and maximize generational impact. His firm provides a simple but powerful model to help families align around values, legacy, and governance. Importantly, MTM 360 is not a financial, legal, or tax advisory service. Instead, it's focused exclusively on helping families create intentional, lasting connections across generations. Sean's leadership and family wealth strategy has been recognized with numerous accolades, including the recent Family Wealth Report Award for client-driven innovation. At the core of his work is a mission to help families flourish not only financially, but also in unity, purpose, and legacy. Sean, it's a real pleasure to be with you, to reconnect, and welcome to Growing Up B2B. So great to have you today.
It's wonderful to be here, Ed. Thank you so much for having me, buddy.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, let's start with your story. What inspired you to launch More Than Money 360, and how did your career path prepare for that?
Yeah, so Ed, my wife Maria and I went to law school together, graduated in 2000, and I hung up a shingle, law office of Sean Barbaras, and started working with successful business owners and entrepreneurs and helping them with everything that estate planners do, tax mitigation, asset protection, so forth and so on. And they were continually asking me very similar questions. You know, Sean, how do I prepare the rising generation to manage this level of wealth? How do I make sure they don't grow up entitled? How do I make sure I don't disincentivize them in some way, shape, or form? I don't want my success, you want the financial success of the older generation be a negative for the family and have a negative impact. So I knew there was no document that could cure that ill. There's no trust. There's really not much you can do from a legal perspective. So I eventually realized that there was a massive hole in the family business and ultra high net worth marketplace, that this qualitative side of wealth, communication, core values, family legacy, gratitude, philanthropy, governance, that we talk about so much here at More Than Money, was really the missing ingredient that families were looking for. So that's in 2007. I practiced law from 2000 to 2007. And in 2007, hired researchers, and we started to build More Than Money to really try to fill a void in the marketplace. We believe that there's wonderful thinkers in the legacy governance family business industry, but we felt there weren't as many doers as there needed to be. So we wanted to create a platform that met family businesses where they were and be able to focus and hone down on really these, people call it the soft side, and we think it's the hard side. But that's certainly what we were looking to do and what I was looking to do to try to fill this void for family businesses and successful families.
Awesome, awesome. So obviously you and I go back 30 plus years from Dickinson College.
34 years, Eddie.
34, there you go. And I remember vividly standing in line for graduation. Our mutual friend, Mike Davey, was next to me. And I said to him, Mike, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do next, but I'll be damned if I go to work for my old man. Obviously, turning down a job to join the family business and 30 years later. So clearly, I didn't really have an idea of what my trajectory was going to be. But going back to those early times, did you have any idea back then that your life's work was going to turn you in a direction of helping families in this kind of unique and impactful way?
So my personal experience with wealth inside of our family was unfortunately a negative one. It was an environment where wealth was almost used as a weapon. And growing up that way, and then certainly coupling that with my experience, as I referenced earlier in my time as practicing law, I always thought there was a better way to serve families. I didn't know what it was. That's why I went to the estate planning piece, and I was trying to figure out a unique way to help families in that capacity. And just in that world, it just wasn't something that I couldn't figure out. Folks much smarter than me, I'm sure, have. But did I know exactly it was going to be this? Absolutely not. Did I want to serve families in a way so they didn't have the same issues and concerns that mine did? I did. I just didn't know what it was going to look like. I had no idea what it was going to look like.
Yeah. But interestingly, looking back, though, all the moves you made set you up for that point. What you learned in estate planning, what you learned in law, what you learned about tax guidance, all built up to that ability to deliver and create this thing called More Than Money 360, if you look back.
Yeah, and I've never sat down with a successful family business and going back and putting my legal hat back on from 2000, 2007, Ed. I never had a business owner or a matriarch or patriarch say, boy, I wish I could squeeze out another 2% of tax savings. It was, no, I want to know how to create multi-generational harmony. It was a word I heard a lot, was harmony. And so I knew the legal side wasn't going to get me to where I wanted to go. So I had to think outside the box. And that's, I'm sure we'll get into it at some point, but that's been both a blessing and a curse, a little bit, thinking outside the box that way.
Understood. And building off that point, MTM 360, as it's positioned, it's very much outside the traditional financial tax legal services realm. Why is that important to you to distinguish that, hey, this is not part of that realm, this is something different?
It's critically important. It is essential that we remain conflict-free. We tell families all the time, we do one thing. We help families become more unified, intentional, and impactful. And we help family businesses succeed for generations. That's what we do. We don't want to manage your money. We don't want to sell you insurance. We don't want to draft your docs. We don't want to do your taxes. We don't want to do anything. We do one thing. And that conflict-free approach has served us very well. Because people always wonder if you're wearing two hats or three hats, which hat are you wearing at this moment? And we wanted to eliminate all that from the very beginning. So for the last 18 years, that has been one of the foundations of the More Than Money business, to remain conflict-free. There's plenty of wealth managers in the world, and it's not my passion secondarily. And there's lots of talented folks out there that can help you with all of those issues. But there's a lot less that can help you with the harmony side, the qualitative side of wealth, like we do. Again, that uniqueness is both a blessing and a curse, but certainly we didn't want to have any appearance of any sort of conflict of interest. We are adamant about that.
Understood. Looking back in the, I'll say back in the day, making this sound old, but it was pretty common for families to be, I'll say, relatively in close proximity. Sure. So if you were in New Jersey, most of your family members, if not all, were somewhere around New Jersey. But that's very different today, as people have really, families are really spreading out geographically. So how does your model, when you've got family members that some are on the East Coast, some are on the West Coast, some are sitting in the middle of the country, but they're all part of the family, part of the family's wealth, and part of the family's mission and legacy. How does your model help bring all those folks together in a meaningful way?
So it's really interesting, Ed, because in 2007, I wasn't thinking to build a technology. We build a paper-based, research-based platform. And it took us about 2 years to build the platform and do the research. And so 2009, I started taking it to successful family businesses and mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whatever the fact pattern were. They're like, Sean, this is great. Where you been all my life? And then we took it to the rising generation. I don't think they've stopped laughing since. Paper? You want me to do something on paper? Are you out of your mind? So 2010, we started to develop the first version of More Than Money 360. We now just completed in January the seventh version. And that technology is what connects people. I talk about dating myself. I say, yo, we don't live in Mayberry anymore. Right? Everybody doesn't live on the same cul-de-sac. That doesn't exist. Little Johnny's taking a semester in Europe and little Susie's at UCLA or Stanford, whatever it may be. And people are spread about geographically more than ever. It's only continued to grow in that way. So we are, to my knowledge, the only firm with a comprehensive technology. We have over 40 what we call digital discovery tools that we complete with families, and we meet them where they are. And so we know, and I don't believe this research for a second, but research tells us that the average rising gen is spending 42 minutes a day on social media. Okay, I think it's probably a lot more, but that's what research showed us. And we're asking for 30 minutes a month via Zoom. And we started that model in 2012 with GoToMeeting, if anybody remembers GoToMeeting. And that was really successful because they could be anywhere in the world that they needed to be. And our technology would meet them where they are. But yet all the data on communication and core values and legacy, gratitude, governance, philanthropy was in a central portal, was in the palm of his or her hand. So that technology piece, we knew that if we wanted to meaningfully engage the rising generations, we had to speak their language. To the point where we're very involved with Camden Wealth, and we wrote an article for them. They asked us, they said, Sean, you guys are having such great success engaging the rising generation. Can you tell us why? And write an article. So we wrote an article, How to Speak Rising Gen. And number one is the rising generation very much wants to make this world a better place. Number two is when you look at the research, 93% of successful family businesses, you ask the rising generation, what's the one thing you wouldn't tell mom, dad, grandma, grandpa? 93% say we feel dictated to. They want a voice. They want a seat at the table. And a wonderful way to do that is on the qualitative side, because so many in the older generation are concerned about disclosing net worth and disclosing the financial, but yet they want to engage the rising generation. So the qualitative side is a wonderful way to do that. And then really the third element of that is technology. The rising generation woke up, Facebook existed. You and I were adjusting the rabbit ears for our fathers to get the ball game on. But so technology is the language that the rising gen speaks, and you have to speak their language. So that's the evolution of really the geographical dispersion that people have and how we connect families, even though they are geographically dispersed, and put all that intellectual, human, social capital of the family right in the palm of their hand, organized bank level security, so forth and so on. Yeah, that's how we evolved over the years. But I failed so miserably, Ed, from 2007 to 2012. We coined the term failing forward. I felt like I was making progress, buddy, but I didn't know where it was or where it was going to end up. But certainly that was part of the journey for sure, 18 years ago.
Wow, that's cool. So tell us a little bit more about the platform itself. So how does the technology work? How does it enable that kind of like deep family dialogue that you're looking to create and foster?
Sure, of course. So we know from research and experience that the rising generation wants to have his or her voice heard, and they want it to be weighted equally. They don't want to be told what to do, what to think, so forth and so on. So our platform gives them that equal voice. So let me give you an example. If we're trying to identify the shared core values of a family, one of our digital discovery tools in our library is called Individual Core Values. So Ed DeLeo would create, all the kids would complete it, and everybody in the family would complete it, and you would receive an individual output. And our research is based on Dr. Robert Musgrave out of Australia. He identified 125 total core values and synthesized them down to the six that we use in our digital discovery tool. And so we would get an individual output for everybody in the family. We will know your core values are family, business, civic, whatever it may be. And then what our technology does, because families have a very difficult time sparking the dialogue around around these qualitative topics. So then our technology will take all the individual responses, whether there's five people in the family, 10 people in the family, 100 people in the family. Doesn't make a difference. It will take all those responses, weigh them equally, which is key, and then provide an aggregate output and say, okay, based on all your individual responses, weighted equally, here are the shared core values of the family. And it'll appear in a 3D pie chart. And so we'll see the shared core values of the family. And we'll say, okay, no pride of authorship at the technology. All we're here to spark the dialogue. All we care is that you talk about it. Is this right? Is this wrong? And then we take that data and we break it down a little bit more by generation. How do the core values in this hypothetical that we're talking about vary by generation? And how does G2 look like G4, whatever the pattern may be? So now there's a conversation and there's a real acknowledgement of the core values in each generation may be a little bit different and understanding those and talking about those. So we believe that if you have an important meeting at work or church, you prepare for it. We know for family businesses that multi-generational qualitative meetings are essential to multi-generational success. We have researched 100 of the most successful family businesses over 100 years and three generations. What did they have in common? So we didn't reinvent the wheel, Ed. We digitized the wheel, so to speak. So we know what the most successful families have done, and we've broken it down into little bite-sized pieces. If you want to invest 30 minutes a month to build an even better family and an even better family business, we can help you. If 30 minutes a month is too much time, even though you're spending 42 minutes a day on social media, then you're sending us a very real message as well. And we didn't fall into that business model by accident. It evolved into that during those early years where I was failing miserably, failing forward, as we say.
That's pretty awesome. So there's obviously a technology component. There's some homework that needs to be done. But
No,
then it sounds
let me stop you there. We don't
yeah.
give grown adults homework.
Okay, you don't give homework? Okay.
No, we do not give grown adults homework. Invest 30 minutes a month. They will be on that Zoom with one of our navigators, one of our advisors. Maybe.
Okay, I see.
And one-on-one, you would have this 30-minute Zoom where our advisor, our navigator, we're there to navigate the conversation,
I see.
will help family member fill in, complete that particular digital discovery tool as we gather data in preparation for the family forum.
Cool.
No, we don't give grown adults homework. We ask them for 30
Okay.
minutes a month. That's what
So
we ask.
there's no test.
There's no test,
No
no.
test. Okay.
No,
Okay.
no test.
One of the things that you had said earlier when we were first speaking was that your work is about helping families focus on qualitative wealth, and you specified qualitative wealth. Can you unpack what that means in your mind?
So it's the concept of more than money.
Okay.
So take a family business's balance sheet and look at it and say, okay, what's not on there? Family unity, life experiences, gratitude, philanthropy, giving back, the harmony within the family, the human intellectual social capital. None of that appears on a financial balance sheet. And our whole premise is that every individual's net worth is more than their financial balance sheet. Because of all of those qualitative assets. It's family unity, it's life experiences, it's core values, it's living your life on purpose, it's making this world a better place together as a family, as a singular unit. We coined the term active gratitude. And it's wonderfully important to stroke a check to ABC Charity. But what's in the best interest of your family multi-generationally is to actively participate in philanthropic events and create those shared experiences of value. Teach gratitude over entitlement, which is one thing that we constantly talk about. We have one of the foregoing researchers on gratitude and the mental and physical benefits of gratitude that we talk to our families a lot about to
Wow.
help defeat what we call the destructive mentality of entitlement and adopt an attitude of gratitude. So, yeah, we very proactively focus on gratitude and philanthropy. And these are all assets that don't appear on a balance sheet. And that's why this whole concept of more than money has been so well received, because people believe that. Most people believe that. And that's been, I think, a big part of our success is really expanding the definition of wealth. It's not just financial. If you believe your wealth is only financial, you're going to be challenged from a multigenerational perspective. And that has been our experience in family businesses.
That's interesting. And they often say the saying, yeah, you pick your friends, you don't always pick your family members. You're born into them or born. And I can speak from experience and from talking with a number of numerous family business leaders. A lot of times you're confronted with what I'll call old wounds, old hurts that are still lingering, have never been resolved. When your navigator's working with a family, do they ever run into that? And if they do, like how do they handle some of that stuff, some of that, I'll just call it that baggage that's built up over time.
Every day we see that.
Yeah.
And so, one of the things that we do when we talk about communication is, and lots of folks have done this in a corporate sense, but they haven't really done it in a family environment, is we'll identify what we call the communication style, the social style of each individual. Are you a fiery red driver? Do it now. Are you a
Yeah.
sunshine yellow expressive? Make it fun. That's me. It's got to be fun. If it's not fun, I'm out. I'm not interested. Or an earth green amiable? Do it in a caring way. Are you a cool blue analytical? Do it correctly. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to analyze. I'm going to make the correct decision. So as we just giving one example, as we dive into these communication styles and the differing communication styles within a family, a little bit of this of is, oh, mom is not being difficult to me. That's who she is. She's a driver and she's going to get to the point and she's going to check the box and she's going to keep moving. Her mantra is do it now. I'm just using that as an example. So communication styles can really highlight differences within the family that they may not be, hey, I'm picking on little Johnny or little Susie. This is just the way I communicate. And there's never been a real highlight on that and a real focus on that and understanding the different communication styles and how they can sometimes cause friction. And we talk to our clients about how to overcome that friction from this perspective, from an emoting perspective. And so that's one way that we've been able to help heal some wounds. The second way we've been able to heal some wounds is that we believe one of the mantras we live by is transparency breeds trust. So when you're logged into our technology, each individual family member has his or her individual dashboard, and they will complete these individual digital discovery tools with their navigator 30 minutes a month. And those results are obviously stored in the technology, but so are mom and dad, so are my brother, so are my sister, my cousin, so are my aunt, so are my uncles. And everybody can go see one another's materials. And I'll give you an example of how this worked out. I was given a talk years ago at Tiger 21, a chapter, and this gentleman walks up to me and he says, Sean, I love my daughter to pieces. I have two daughters. And if you put me across this table from her, it will be like Rams colliding. We do not get along. Could your process help with that? And so I said, sure. So we picked three discovery tools, and one of which is one of our discovery tools is called Statement of Values. What is most important to you as an individual? And our technology guides them through seven sections of writing this Statement of Values. So he gets to one section where we talk about the nuclear family and what's important to you. And he starts talking about how I really wish I had a better relationship with my daughter. I love her from head to toe, and just we got off on the wrong foot 5, 6 years ago, and we had a disagreement, and we've never recovered. And it's one of my biggest regrets in life. So then I'm sitting down on a Zoom with the daughter, that time go-to meeting, and she completes her statement of values. And I said, would you like to read your dad's? Yes, please. So we go and we read her dad's, and she gets to that section, and she starts to well up a little bit. He's never expressed that to me like that before. Now, they were not sitting across the table because they would have been Rams colliding, right? So that indirect communication softened the relationship. Did it fix it overnight? Of course not. This is a process, not an event. It's very important to know that. But it softened the relationship, and they were very able to really greatly improve their relationship over time. So that's just two examples how we do things. But certainly fostering and getting over some bad blood is something that we see every day and something we've been very successful with in family businesses, for sure.
So beyond some of those old wounds or communication hurdles that you overcome, what are some other common challenges that families face when it comes to the whole concept of succession, unity, or building legacy?
First and foremost, I would say that there's a lack of system, process, and structure in addressing those topics. There's a lack of focus. Legacy is a bastardized term. It's just so overused. I stopped using the word. I use the word harmony for an impact. If I see another Lincoln Financial commercial talking about legacy and life insurance, that can end well for me. I'm going to go right to the fridge for a beer. It's the word has been so misused. I think one of the common challenges is family businesses having a system and a process to address the qualitative side of wealth. I think lack of focus. Hey, we're making money. We got to focus on making money. Got to build the business. I think the lack of focus. That's why the 30 minutes a month model has worked well for us, because family businesses are busy and they're successful. They have a lot of things to do. If they've banked a few dollars, they got lots of options to go great places. You have to fit that busy, geographically dispersed lifestyle. And a lot of the industry is, hey, I'm going to come in and interview Ed for 2 hours. And then I'm going to interview so and so for 2 hours. And it's a cure for insomnia. This has to be a fun and productive process. People in our industry call them family retreats. And it drives me crazy, Ed. Who's going backwards? We're not going backwards. Who's retreating? No, thank you. And so then they call them family meetings. Meetings are a cure for insomnia. Who wants to sit in a meeting? Fun and productive. Family forums, an exchange of ideas, exchange of communication. And that's why we've settled on that word, family forum. And family businesses just don't know how to get there. And it's a blessing and curse for us, because we're so unique that people don't say, hey, I wish I had a technology. It could connect my geographically dispersed family to help us identify shared values, vision, and purpose. People don't wake up and thinking that. So that's the curse. The blessing is once they learn about us, we get a little bit of that, where you been all my life? And that's the blessing side of it. And that's really what the Family Wealth Report Award, I'm sorry to
Good.
that's really what the Family Wealth Report Award and some of the other accolades we've received have been so helpful, because it gives us that exposure and say, hey, I didn't know you could do it that way. Podcasts like this with you, Ed, and so forth have shined the light a little bit. There's a different way to go about this. There's a 21st century way to establish shared values, vision, and purpose within a family business.
So expound on that for a moment. That's a pretty major accolade, Family Wealth Report Award for client-driven innovation. What did that recognition, you talked about the early years where you felt like you were failing forward, but then eventually you got the model and the model stuck. So what did that recognition mean for you and for your team?
It was personally very satisfying. I had a number of people between 2007 and about 2015 or 16, a number of people in the legacy governance, family office, family business space tell me that I can't even tell you how many people I had. They say, Sean, you're wasting your time. This isn't a viable business. You can't support your family doing these things. So for me, it was a bit of a personal vindication from a personal perspective that, yeah, we can do it this way. And okay, but it was a tough slog to get here, but we're here now, and we've been here now for a good while. So there was certainly an element of personal vindication for sure. And the interesting thing is, so many of the people that told me I couldn't do it at some point, some time have worked for me. So it's always been fun. But we're on a mission to improve our world one family business at a time. And that really shined light on a way to do that that is not readily known in the legacy governance, family office, family business space. So really that recognition, that blessing and the curse, it really help the blessing side of that to shed light that there is another way to do this. It doesn't have to be a cure for insomnia. It definitely can be a fun and productive, engaging process for the family.
That's awesome. So you've probably run into this a lot too, digging deeper into, especially when there's a family business involved in the family, the overall family that you're engaged with. So when it comes to roles, like for instance, sometimes it could be a father-son role, but it's also employee boss or two siblings, and in the workplace, they're colleagues. So, to what extent do you look at or get into the idea of roles? Are you speaking as my dad or are you speaking as my boss? You know, scenarios like that, do those ever show up in any of your interactions? And how do you help families separate the two, or to what extent do you see that they need to be separated?
They absolutely need to be separated. We do not get involved much in the business structure. That's not our role. We believe that's more of a legal, quantitative conversation. Where we do get involved in the family business world is, okay, who wants to be in the family business? We've had, I can't tell you how many instances where mom and dad thought little Johnny was going to jump in the family business and this was his destiny and he was going to do it. And little Johnny says, I don't want to do it. But guess what? Sally did. And whoa, where did that come from? That I can't tell you how many times that has happened. But in that, there's many times where in my hypothetical, little Johnny felt obligated because it was always expected of him. Hey, you're taking over the family. Oh, I can't wait for you to take over the family business. And it was baked in the cake, so to speak. So we're able to really help families flesh out those conversations and understand who is really passionate about the family business, who isn't, who wants to be involved, who doesn't. And then how is the arrangement, how's the equality done from a financial perspective between those involved in the family business and those that are not? And how can we identify roles that are empowering for both sides? Because that's really one of the main conversations that can adversely impact the qualitative side of wealth and the unity as well. Little Sally's working in the business. She's getting paid X number of dollars a year. Little Johnny decided not to. He's not getting paid X number of dollars a year. How do you level those things out from an ownership perspective, from an income perspective? And those are conversations that the family needs to have. We don't make those decisions for family. We don't say, here's what you do. We can give examples of what many of our family business clients have done anonymously, obviously, but we just provide the forum for them to be able to have that conversation.
Understood. So in many scenarios, there's that mindset of if it's not broke, don't fix it. And you see a family, whether it be a family business, and they're rolling along and life is good until it's not good, until there's a crisis or a disagreement or something blows up. And I've certainly had some people on the program where they stepped up in the leadership, not because they were ready, because they had to, because a parent passed away suddenly or something happened that took them out of their ability to continue on in leadership. Why do you think that a lot of these things are so overlooked until there's that? Because at that crisis point, one could argue maybe it's you're heading just towards too late to start really engaging and benefiting from some of the tools and instruments that you bring to the table.
So I think it's a thoughtful question. Thank you, Ed. I think it goes back to a little bit what we talked about before. The best time to plant a tree is yesterday. And certainly we get families that come to us that almost all of them have some sort of discord or friction within the family. And so what we constantly try to encourage the oldest generation to do is we need to practice governance now. We need to practice the rising generation making group decisions, resolving conflict now, so that you can, while you're alive, you can see these things happening. Because if you don't set this up, you don't set this environment up while you're living, it's going to be harder to do when the good Lord takes you. So being proactive and planting that tree yesterday is really what we suggest for families. There's never going to be the perfect time for a family to engage in a really a qualitative process. You just got to rip the Band-Aid off and jump in. We liken it this way. We need a family leader in the business to stand up and be the almost like the conductor of a train and yell, "All aboard." We are jumping on this qualitative journey. We're jumping on this train. And all those that want to participate in the family, God bless America and all the ships at sea, jump on. But that train's going to leave DC and it's going to stop in Philly. And people can get on the train, then get off the train. Then it's going to go to New York and get on the train and off the train. But it needs the family leader to yell out, "All aboard." And then we take it from there. But Really, the families, when you look at the research, the families that were proactive, that didn't wait for things to get so bad to the point where, you know what, who cares anymore? And then they're not talking for 2, 3, 4 years, and then they get used to not talking, and then life changes and their life adapts. And okay, it might be a little too late then, but we've certainly recovered some of those and helped some of those relationships pretty often. But this is, when family businesses break up, when families break up, it's typically not an event. It's death by a thousand cuts. And it's, we had this little argument in the next 6 months, accelerated into a little bit of a bigger argument. And it just keeps to grow and fester and grow and fester. Why is it growing faster? No transparency, no communication, right? And one of the things that we do is we really set guidelines around communication. When we're in one of our family forums, you know, it's our job, one, to make sure the train's running on time, but more importantly, make sure the train stays on the damn tracks. Right? It just doesn't fall off. And we create some real rules around transparency, right? It has to be open. You have to be open-minded. It has to be free. You have to be free to be able to say what's on your mind. It has to be necessary. It has to be truthful. It has to be kind. And these are the rules of the road. And if folks violate those rules within our family forum, that's our job as a navigator to say, okay, hold on, take a step back. Was that truthful? Was that kind? Was that necessary? You went on a little too long. Are you being open-minded and listening? That's the most underrated communication tool is listening. People don't listen as well as they should. And getting voices heard is critically important to fostering multi-generational harmony because the rising generation feels dictated to. They want to be heard. And if they feel that they're not being heard, that just increases resentment and bad feelings and bad blood. But to answer your question, the families that are proactive, when you look at the research, they're the ones that succeeded over 3 generations or 100 years. And the number one trait that those families identified was forgiveness. Was a key to their success was forgiveness.
Wow,
And
that's
that's
huge.
much easier said than done, for sure.
Certainly, certainly. Ironically, it's always harder when it's family.
No doubt about it. It's blood's thicker than water, right? So yeah, it is. No, it's definitely harder when it's family because when someone in your family disappoints you, you're like, wait a minute, hold on, you're on my team. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's true. That's
But
true.
we help facilitate the conversations that help heal some of those wounds and then move the family forward and give empower and give everybody that equal voice. And that goes a long way. Healing of the rising generation feeling dictated to, overcoming that in and of itself is a massive step forward, for sure.
On the just diving on the other side of that, so a lot of times there's that, and you've spoken to that well, that there's that rising generation that feels that they're not heard or they don't have a voice at the table, if you will. On the other side of it, sometimes you see, and I've seen this, and I've seen family businesses sell or break apart because that rising generation is coming in with a bit of an entitlement attitude.
Sure.
I want what's owed me. How do you break that down? Because that can certainly be cancerous if there are other siblings or other family members involved.
Yeah, that's why we call it the destructive mentality of entitlement. It is truly destructive. There's no doubt about it. You have to start at the basics, almost blocking and tackling. If you're playing football, you have to start at the very basics and start with communication. Start with identifying communication styles and social styles. Start with focusing on appreciation styles and gratitude, the five love languages. We have one of our digital discovery tools wrapped around the five love languages. And so you need to start at the very beginning. You need to start with communication. You have to improve communication. You have to set the guidelines around communication that I referenced earlier, open, free, truthful, kind, necessary, listening, and really set the playing field for meaningful dialogue around these, around the topics that are bothering the family. And there's a wrong way to bring those topics up, and there's a wrong way. You can wag your finger at mom and dad and say, you're horrible because you did this, that, and the other. We have lots of families that are in oil and gas, and the rising generations they're very pro-environment. They have a really hard time that the family's in oil and gas. And so we have to overcome various issues like that all the time. And they have to communicate their way through. And they, but if you don't sit down at the table, you don't have system, process, structure, and an outside advisor, whether it's More Than Money or one of the other great folks in our industry. 82%, I believe, was the data, Ed, of the rising generation want an outside professional opinion leading these qualitative conversations. They don't want dad, Uncle Joe, and Aunt Sally doing it. They want an outside professional because there's always that hint of bias because of that personal family relationship. So having that outside advisor, whoever it may be, lead these conversations, assuming they're qualified, you're going to get to the meat of the disagreement, but you have to do it the right way. It's a process, not an event. People come to us all the time and say, hey, we need to set up governance. I said, great. I said, did you take a 401 course your freshman year in college? You didn't. You took a 101 course. So we'll do that. We'll get there. It's a process, not an event, but certainly you got to do it the right way. And fortunately, we've had 18 years experience officially, 25 years experience unofficially, helping families work through these issues.
That's amazing. Just hearing you speak, Sean, you've packed so much into this platform. Yet at the tip of the spear, in terms of the interaction, you've also made it incredibly easy for families to get engaged. So even though the system itself is complex, the experience is not complex. The experience is, you know, you've made it very hassle-free, very easy. As you say, 30 minutes a month, not a heavy lift. That
you
being said—
You can be anywhere in the world you want to be.
Yeah.
Our mantra, Eddie, has always been simple, elegant, and effective.
Yeah.
That's always been our mantra when we're developing our platform, simple, elegant, and effective.
And you referenced that you're on your latest iteration of it. So it sounds like you continue to evolve the tool set and evolve the platform. To what extent, if at all, is AI, artificial intelligence, and other digital tools like integrating into the platform as of yet or integrating into your process? Do you see a place for AI?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are creating an AI bot for our families that they can go in and ask questions. So we gather a lot of data on our families, from leadership styles to learning styles to communication styles to their core values to all kinds of information. So our AI bot is going to allow family members, they can go to the bot and say, who's best in the family to fill this position? And they can put in the position. The bot will search all the data from all the digital discovery tools in our library that we have that have been completed by the family and come out and say, oh, little Sally's best for this. Little Johnny's best for this, you know, whatever it may be. So yes, AI is going to be integrated into More Than Money 360. We're working on it and it will certainly be there. In the end, this is a human relational process. So a bot is not going to replace a navigator facilitating one of our family forums. I don't believe, but it is very much a human relational process. But the bot can help us take all the wonderful data we've collected over our process and make it more searchable and certainly applicable in different ways. So that's how we're looking to use it.
Awesome. Awesome. So for listeners who are part of a family business, as virtually all of them are, what's a one small step that you'd advise that they could take today if they have some concerns around stronger family unity or alignment within their family? What would be like, hey, I don't know where to start. I know we got problems. We've got some infighting. We've got some issues. So what's one small step that they could take or think about moving forward?
Without doubt, begin to educate yourself on the issues and begin to educate yourself on what the most successful families have done. Begin to educate yourselves on what the families that weren't successful. And talk to professionals in the industry, those that have a deep knowledge around multi-generational family businesses and successful transfers of all assets of wealth, not just the business, but all assets of wealth, both quantitative and qualitative. So education, certainly there's a lot of great books out there that can be helpful. You know, I'm a big fan of Dennis Jaffe's book, Borrowed from Our Grandchildren. It's not specifically about family businesses, but it's about multi-generational success. Dennis is one of the foregoing researchers he's a wonderful thinker. We have wonderful thinkers in this industry, not enough doers. That's the hole that we're filling. But you look through and you see everything that he's done with his research. I'm proud to say that everything he's discussed in his research, we had already digitized before his book came out. So I was very proud of that. But it's a wonderful book. And the whole concept, just think of the title, Borrowed from Our Grandchildren. These assets, this family business, they're not mine. They're not yours. They're not little Sally's. They're not little Johnny's. We're just borrowing this asset from our grandchildren. Stewardship over consumption is one of the mentalities that successful family businesses have embraced. I'm borrowing this business from my grandchildren. And the title in and of itself, I think, is powerful. The content is fantastic. So start with education. There's lots of great books out there. Certainly, we're happy to talk to folks and help folks out. And certainly, we have lots of research. We've taken a compilation of a lot of research from Grubman, Jay Hughes, Dennis Jaffe, all these wonderful thinkers in our industry. And we created a compilation of research that we call the best practices of generative families. Families that have succeeded three or more generations. They call them generative families. And what are the issues G1 faced? And how did G1 overcome it? And what was G2 thinking at the time? And then what were the issues G2 faced? And how did they overcome it? What was G3 thinking at the time? So we have copious amounts of research. We are a research-based firm. And I would say educate yourself first, without doubt.
Wow, that's That's fascinating, the work you've done. Wow. So, last question. If somebody wants to learn more about MTM 360 or connect with you to learn more about the things that MTM 360 can deliver, what's the best way to connect, Sean?
Yeah, sure. Happy to have anybody email me. Email is Shawn. I spell Sean the correct way. Thank you. Sean, Shawn at MTM, Mary Tom Mary, more than money, MTM-360.com. Certainly you can go to the website, learn more, and you're able to submit for a private consultation. That website is more, THAN money 360.com. You can go there. And we're an open book. You want to shoot me a text or give me a call on my cell, you can do that as well. 443-240-2416 is my cell phone. We're an open book. We have a great team. We have a robust team, and we have lots of folks with lots of varying experiences and highly confident that whatever the question we're being asked, we have either some research that could help them and or a live body who's lived through it and can certainly go through it. You've met my partner, Rowie. Rowie's G4 of a family business that started in 1875. Five
Wow.
years ago, he successfully handed it off to G5. This is a man who has lived multi-generational family business success. He's now 73 years old. He's passed it on to G5. G5 is doing fantastic. He calls them the legacy boys. And they're taking it and they're running with it and they're doing swimmingly well. And yeah, we have lots of folks and lots of resources that we can help folks get educated on the importance and what to do and how to do it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Sean, thank you so much for joining me on Growing Up B2B. It's been great to not only reconnect, but also to hear how you're making such a powerful impact on families, helping them build unity, intentionality, and legacy that's hopefully going to span across generations. Again, we've been speaking with Sean Barbaras, founder and president of More Than Money 360, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day. See you next time. Sean, thanks again for being on.
Thank you, Eddie.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.